Bring it on. Amen. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. For the last couple of Sundays, I have preached about faith. Two Sundays ago, I preached about it, deciding if we're going to believe what the Word of God says. Last Sunday, we talked about the walls of Jericho coming down. And this morning, the Lord is testing my faith. He's testing my faith, right? How many of you realize that just because you say, I'm going to believe God, that all of a sudden everything doesn't automatically change? What happens sometimes is the enemy says, we're going to see about that, right? Okay, just like when Moses walked in, you remember that. Moses came in to the armies of Pharaoh, to Pharaoh, and he said, look, you let my people go. That was a word of faith. God's going to deliver all these Israelites from Egypt. You want to know what happened? Things got better before they got worse. Things got worse before they got better, right? I'm not saying things are going to get worse around here. I'm believing they're going to get better. Amen? Amen. But I'm just telling you that sometimes your faith gets tested. And so I just want to jump right into the Word today. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. It's going to be on the screen. It's in the notes in the bulletin. It's on the app. And so anyway, we're grateful. But this is one of the most encouraging verses that Paul ever wrote. And it's quoted many times in just in a partial kind of a way. And I'll tell you, if you meditate on this verse, it will blow your mind. It will make you think unbelievable thoughts about God. Your dreams will get bigger. Your aspirations will get bigger. Your God will get bigger, because this is a powerful, powerful faith verse. Now, I just want to tell you something. I don't intend to just talk about a nice little verse out of the Bible today. I intend to activate a verse from the Bible. I intend to apply the verse from the Bible. Come on. I want to get myself and I want to get all of us completely in line so that God can answer what this verse has to say. All right? It's a powerful verse, Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to Him, who's it talking about? To King Jesus, come on. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Wow. Now, the amazing thing is a lot of people, a lot of preachers, I even saw it on Facebook this week, they just quote the verse until right there and then they stop. How many of you know that's not a good idea? Right? That's not a good idea. They look at what God is able to do and they think, wow, I can ask a lot, I can think a lot, and God can do beyond that. He can do even exceedingly abundantly above all of that. Even the greatest thing I can think, God can go even beyond that. And as you meditate on that, it'll just expand your mind. But how many of you realize that at the end of this verse, there's a qualifier? Right? There's a hanger on, or there's something that has to be happening in us for this to actually happen. It is a conditional verse. It is not just a carte blanche promise. It's not like a blank check that you can just take down and fill it out with whatever you want. Something has to be happening on the inside of us, right? So the verse goes on. This is what it says. It says, we now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now notice the last phrase, according to the power that works in us. Now that's the key, isn't it, right? If the power isn't working in us, the promise is not going to work. Now I know y'all like football. You can have the most beautiful big screen TV at your house with complete 11.1 surround sound. You can have your sofas all lined up there, your chips and dip or whatever it is that you eat while you're watching the game. But how many of you know that if you don't have any power in the house, you're not going to get a lot of football on all of that equipment? And so what God gives us here is He gives us the equipment, right? He gives us the promise. But let me tell you something, you've got to have power. Am I telling the truth tonight or not. And I just wonder, is there anybody curious enough to say, well, what exactly is that power? What does that exactly look like? Is there anybody with enough courage to stand up and say, you know what, I'm going after that verse. I'm going to figure out what that power working inside of me really is so that I can see my God, my Jesus, my King do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. Come on, somebody. Amen. You've got to get that power working. Amen. You've got to get that power working. Amen. Amen. And how many of you realize that it's not about somebody saying, look at me? Am I right? How many of you, that just kind of quenches your spirit a little bit when somebody's like, you should see all the faith that I've got. You should see how holy I am. You should see how wonderful I am. I'm so wonderful. I'm so great. I'm God's favorite. On and on. How many of you know they're taking the glory, right? This verse doesn't stop right here. It goes on a little bit further. How many of you want to see who gets the glory? How many of you want to see who gets the credit? Because the verse goes on and says, here it goes. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And when it says all generations, what it means that the same power that we read about in the book of Acts, the same power in the Bible should be in us, and it's available for us if we will believe it. I want to give you, I was going to actually preach 2 out of 5 types of power, all right, this morning. But as I started getting into this, I said, no, I can't preach all of this in one day. I mean, you know, I don't want to stay here that long, do you? Amen. And besides that, I just felt like God just wanted me to preach the first part. So your notes have 2 points, but I'm only going to preach 1 this morning. And you can say amen to that if you like to, okay? But over the next two or three weeks, we're going to really look at what powers he talking about right here. What power has to work in us, okay? And I want to talk to you, first of all, about the power of faith that overcomes unbelief. That's the first kind of power that has to be working in you if you're going to see God answer your prayers. If you're going to see God move in your life, if you're going to see change in your life, if you're going to see things happen in your life, you've got to have a power of faith that overcomes unbelief. Now, Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says this. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Right? You can't please God if you don't have faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who, what's it say? Diligently seek him. And so what you see here, you see that receiving things by faith is tied to diligently seeking him. It's tied to your prayer life. Everything in the kingdom of God is by faith. Right? This church was built by faith. I'm not talking about the people. That was built by faith too. But I'm talking about the building was built by faith. Come on. The scripture says the just will live by faith. Salvation is by faith. Healing is by faith. Come on. What you receive from God comes by faith. If you want to recover from your hurts and your habits and your hang-ups, let me tell you something. You can't do it without faith. You need faith in your life. And faith has an enemy. And that enemy is called unbelief. And I have determined to go after unbelief in my life and in this ministry. Come on. And so we're going after unbelief. And I'll just tell you that unbelief has hurt the kingdom of God. We kept the children out of Israel, out of the promised land for 40 years. Now, can you imagine this? These were the same people that saw God move in rescuing them from Egypt. They saw 10 plagues. They saw God spare them when they put the blood of the lamb on the door. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They supernaturally were eating manna every day. They received the gold and the silver from the Egyptians. Come on. They saw God in the fire on the mountain. You know, they felt the mountain quake. Ooh, did you hear that? Thank you, Lord. You're helping me preach today. They saw all of that, and they guess what? They got to the very edge of the promised land, and Moses has sent 12 spies in. You remember the story. And 10 of them come back, whining and crying and speaking unbelief. And basically they said, we can't go in. The giants are too big. The people are too strong. The walls are too fortified. There's no way. We're going to get crushed. We're just like a grasshopper. And their hearts melted. And they gave up. And they got discouraged. And that caused them to have to wander in the wilderness for another 40 years because God was not happy with them. And let me just tell you something. If you want to please God, is there anybody who says, I want to please Him? Then you've got to believe. You've got to have faith. You've got to have courage. Come on. And we've got to approach everything in our life with faith. Doesn't matter how big it is or how small it is. And I just wonder, does anybody besides me, when you go to the mall at Christmas time and everything's all full, how many of you pray for a good parking spot right up front? Come on. I know that sounds like a small thing, but let me tell you something. You exercise your faith. It's amazing how many times you'll pull right up and there's somebody coming out right there by the door and you say, well, thank you, God. Come on. I'm just telling you, God answers little prayers like that. And if you're believing God for something great, like divine healing or for someone to be saved, or how about this, a revival in the United States of America, a move of God, you've still got to have faith, no matter how big it is or how small. Because did you know this? Even Jesus can't do much when there's no faith. He said, I thought Jesus could do everything. Well, I mean, He can, but let me tell you, He acts in response to our faith. Am I right? One of the most astonishing things that ever happened in the Word was when Jesus went back to His own hometown, right? He was among His own people, the ones who had seen Him grow up. And this is what the Word says, all right? It says, now, Mark 6, it says, now He could do no mighty work there, except that He laid His hands on a few sick people and healed them. A few. And He marveled because of their unbelief. They couldn't believe that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. They couldn't believe that He was the Messiah. They couldn't believe that He was the miracle worker. And because of their unbelief, that stopped the power of God. That stopped Jesus' ministry from being everything that it should be. Now, what's amazing is if we would take that scripture and we would apply it to the modern day church, if people were coming to church and we were laying our hands on them and they were getting healed, we'd be saying, woo, man, God is moving. The power of God is here. It's revival. But when Jesus looked at it, He said, that's nothing compared to what I want to do. That's small fries compared to what I want to do. Because He says here, He says, I wanted to do a mighty work there. I wanted to do something so great, so powerful, so amazing that people would marvel at it for years. Come on. And I wonder today if we were to pull back the real, I mean, you know, how many of you realize that there's a lot of religious talk in the world today? Spiritual stuff, quoting verses, talking stuff. But do we really believe what we say? That's what I'm asking. Do we really believe it down on the inside? If we were, you know, there's an amazing verse that says, when Jesus comes, will He find faith on the earth? Will faith still be here? He wouldn't have asked that question if faith was going to be exploding everywhere. But I'm just here today to tell you that there's a group of people that know how to believe God. There's a group of people that know how to pray. There's a group of people that know how to stand, come on, and just preach right into the devil's eye. Come on, they know how to stand up and say, you know something? I'm marching ahead. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how dark it looks. I don't care how much the devil says, I'll never be free. I'll never be right. They march right up to the devil and they say, oh yeah, my God is bigger than that. My God is stronger than that. My God is more able than that. Come on, somebody. But if we were to peel back, we were to peel back and say, what do people really believe today? I wonder what the answer would really be. Because a lot of people believe for salvation, but then they don't really believe for anything else. They don't believe for anything else. And if they do believe for something, they're believing for something like, well, you know, can I redecorate my house, Lord? I need a bigger car, Lord. I need all this. Let me tell you something. That is not the important things of life. In fact, you know what the Bible tells us? I'm going to preach about this too in the next couple of weeks. The Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Put God first. Put Him first. Seek first His kingdom. Seek first His righteousness. And you don't even have to worry about all the other stuff. God will take care of all of that. But you see, God says, I've got to be first. I've got to be number one. Those were the words of Jesus. I wonder how much people believe. The Scripture tells us that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And so the question becomes, this week, what did you ask for? What did you think of? Did you pray? What did your prayer life look like? And when I say prayer life, I'm not talking about, you know, like right before you eat, saying Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one who eats the fastest gets the most. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, all right? I'm talking about, did you really pray? Did you ask God? And did you believe the Lord? Do you have a prayer list? Are you petitioning God for your family? I want to speak to every man here today. Sir, I want to tell you something. You are the high priest of your family. You're the one that needs to stand up and you're the one that needs to go before God and intercede for your family and say, God, I need you in my family. I need you in my home. I need you in my marriage. I need your blessing with my children. You need to have that kind of a prayer life and believing God. And so let's just get honest this morning. Is there anybody at all who struggles with unbelief? You say, well, I don't know whether I struggle with it or not. Well, let me just give you some examples, all right? Because let me tell you something. When you struggle with unbelief, the chances are you're not going to be asking for very much. Unbelief looks like this. You look at your marriage and you say, it ain't ever going to get any better. It's going to get worse. I don't know. I feel like giving up. You know, maybe there's somebody else out there. I don't know. That's what unbelief looks like in a marriage. I'm preaching today. Come on. Okay, we look at our finances and say, you know something, it's never going to change. I'm never going to get ahead. I'm never going to get out of debt. I'm never going to do negative, on and on. That's what unbelief looks like. We look at our kids and we think, you know something, they're always going to be little devils. Come on. They're never going to change. We look at our adult kids and we think they're never going to come to Christ. They're never going to submit fully. They're going to be out there in the world. Let me tell you something. The devil's a liar. Come on. I said the devil's a liar. We look at our habits and our hurts. We look at our addiction. We look at the fact that we've been abused. And we say, you know something, I don't think I'll ever be able to recover. I'm here today to tell you that Satan is a liar. Come on. I'm telling you, we've got to put that behind us and we've got to believe. You say, I'd like to know whether I have unbelief in my life. Then simply look at your prayer life, because a sign of unbelief is prayerlessness. If you don't pray, if you don't believe, if you're not asking, if you're not praising, then the chance is that you have been overtaking with unbelief. I mean, I love James 4 and verse number 2 that says, you do not have because you did not ask God. You don't have because you didn't ask God. I mean, wouldn't it be something if you get to heaven and God says to you, I want to show you something. And He takes you over to this great big storeroom of heaven where there's all these blessings and all these good things and all the things that you could have had. He said, I had this up here if you'd have just asked me. Why didn't you ask me? I'm going to tell you something. God's not going to say that to me. Hello? Is there anybody else in the house that says God is not going to tell me that because I'm at least going to ask? If nothing else, I'm going to ask and seek His face. But the reason why we don't ask, how many of you are with me? The reason why we don't ask is because we don't really think He's going to answer because our lives are filled with unbelief. Well, I got news for you. There's a cure for unbelief. There's a cure for unbelief. And the first thing you've got to do is admit it. My wife's probably a better counselor than I am. I got 2 points. Admit it and quit it, okay? Admit it and quit it. That about covers everything, right? But there's a story in Mark chapter 9. Jesus had been up on the mountain of Transfiguration. Powerful story. And a man brought his demon-possessed son. Can you imagine having a child that was possessed by demonic powers and anytime there was a fire, anytime there was any water around, you better restrain the child because the child's going to go throw himself in there to drown himself or throw himself in the fire to injure himself. Or he would fall on the ground and thrash about like that. Can you imagine the burden this man had that he was taking care of his son and how his heart was broken? And then finally one day he says, you know something? I've heard of someone by the name of Jesus. I'm going to go seek him out. And so he followed him around. Where's Jesus? They didn't have, all this high-tech stuff back in those days. He had to find out where he was, and he finally gets to the place he was, and he finds some of Jesus' disciples, and the disciples of Jesus are trying to help this boy find freedom. They're trying to cast him out, but the scripture says they could not. How many of you know that unbelief jumped in there? I guess he'll never be free. I guess this will never work. I guess Jesus can't even help. That the scripture says in Mark 9:24 that Jesus came down from the mountain, and it says that Jesus saw him, and Jesus saw what was happening, and Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And I'm just here today to tell you that I brought a word from God for somebody. I've got a message from the Lord for somebody today. If somebody will have the courage to stand up in faith and say, I believe it. I'm here today to tell you that your situation is not impossible. Your situation is not too hard for Almighty God. All things are possible if you just believe. And the scripture goes on to say this, immediately the father of the child cried out and he said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. In other words, he was willing to admit to the Lord, Jesus, I'm struggling to believe. I believe, but there's a little bit down here that still struggle with unbelief. Now, I'm just here to tell you that when you admit it to Jesus, He understands it, right? Well, is there anybody besides me who's ever struggled with faith? Come on. Am I preaching to real people here today or not? Let me tell you something. If you want to go to a church where they don't preach to real people, you're in the wrong kind of a church, all right? Because I preach real stuff because, let me tell you something, we're a real congregation going through real struggles. But let me tell you what we got. A real God that really answers prayer. Come on. And I believe that the moment he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, I just believe that somehow on the inside a surge of faith rose up on the inside of him. And the next thing he knows, there Jesus is ministering to his son. And before you know it, he receives his son back completely free. Come on, can we give Jesus a big hand of praise today? But let me tell you, there's a cure for unbelief. First of all, you've got to admit it. And then let me tell you what else you've got to do. You've got to be willing to receive the Word of God. There's a cure. It's called the Word of God. Romans 10:17 tells us this. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by watching Fox News. I said that for you, John. Hearing by watching CNN. Hearing by listening to what the president has to say. Come on. Hearing by watching TV for several hours a day. That'll get you faith. Well, it depends on who you're watching preach on TV. Hello. It can't help. It can't help. Amen. No, what the Word says is so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm just here today to tell you that if you need more faith, all you've got to do is shut down Facebook, shut down Twitter, turn off the television set, come on, and get into the Word of Almighty God. Start reading the Bible, start digesting it, start putting it down on the inside of you, come on, and before long you'll start feeling faith, because how can you read about a miracle in the Bible without believing it? Come on, pretty soon it begins to act into your life, because let me tell you something, this is not a dead, dry, dusty book. This book, the Bible says, it's living. It's active. Come on. Amen. It's powerful. And let me tell you what you've got to do. You've got to tell everybody who doesn't speak faith, I'm sorry, I can't hang around you anymore. Hello? Sorry, can't do it. All that negativity, it will knock you down. It's like the person goes to pray for their friend up at the hospital. And he says, "My, I'm up here to pray for you, brother. What is it that you've got?" "Well, I've got XYZ disease." "Oh, my cousin died from XYZ disease. I prayed for her too." You know what? Someone does that, you just say, "I think it's time for us to change the subject." If you can do that, or if you're bold enough, do what Jesus did. Say, "You got to move out of the room here just for a minute." Come on. Amen. You can't have that. You've got to be around people who know God, people who have faith, people who will speak positively into your life. Amen. Because if all you hear is unbelief, all it will produce is unbelief. And when it comes to fighting unbelief, you've got to get ruthless. Come on, somebody. You've got to say, "You know something? I can't listen to that anymore. I'm sorry, but please, I'm believing God for this thing. I'm trusting the Lord for this thing." Romans chapter 4 tells us this. Tells us about Abraham. And tells us about, you know, how many of you know he's the father of faith, right? It says this, "And not being weak in faith," this is a long one, isn't it? "He did not consider his own body already dead." We're going to break it down in a minute. "Since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." Now the situation was that God, 25 years before, had promised Abraham something. He said, "I'm going to give you a son. It's the son of promise. It's going to come through your wife, Sarah." And he had done his best, and she had done her best, but let me tell you, it did not happen until Abraham believed God. And let me just break this down for you. There's some things, and they're in your notes today, but the first thing is, you do not consider circumstances that speak contrary to faith. Stop and think about it. This guy, the scripture describes him here, Abraham, as being dead. Now, how many of you know he really wasn't? I mean, he wasn't like physically dead. He wasn't a zombie walking around, okay? But what the scripture was saying is that those days had passed. Those days, you know, were gone. You know, he wasn't fathering children anymore. He was 100 years old. And it says that Sarah's womb was dead. Now, all of us who know about physiology of women understand that there's a cycle, and there's a point where the cycle ceases, okay? And when the cycle ceases, chances are you're not going to have any more children. Am I right? And so, but let me tell you something. What happened here was that he said, "I'm not going to consider that." Now the word "consider" means to give weight to it. to listen to it, to meditate on it, to think about it. No. He said, you know something? I'm not even going to consider that. And so let me tell you something. Don't consider when the doctor says something. Don't consider that as the final word. Because whose report are you going to believe anyhow? Come on. When your friends tell you it's over, when your friends tell you it's too late, it can't happen, don't pay much attention to that. Don't consider what they have to say, because all they're doing is they're just looking through natural eyes. Instead, do what Abraham did. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, all right? I want to jump over there. I added this scripture this morning. I got excited about 4:45 today. Hello. Y'all were sleeping. I was up drinking coffee and in the Word. Hebrews 11, verse 11. Oh, I love this. It says this. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age of having children, right? Even Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father. Now notice what it says. Because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. He considered him faithful who had made the promise. I'm going to tell you, the key to unbelief is not considering the negative side. It's considering the faithful God who has made the promise. Come on, somebody. I'm just here to tell you that God is faithful to what He has promised. Amen. If you've got to understand that God's integrity is on the line. God's integrity is on the line. Come on. When you believe God, what you're saying is, God, I believe that you're willing to put your integrity on the line. I believe that what you said in the Word of God is 100% true, that it's going to happen for me, and you begin to appropriate that into your life, and I'm going to tell you something, it will happen if you not consider, give weight to the circumstances of your life, but consider what God has promised. Number two, the second thing you've got to do is you've got to give glory to God. This is what it says. But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. You say, well, I need my faith to be strengthened. I want to be strong in faith and walk around giving glory to God. All day long, just walk around praising God. Get your praise music on. Come on, somebody. Turn on your DVD, your CD. Maybe you've got a cassette tape. Maybe you listen to hymns on 8-track. That's okay. Some of y'all don't even know what 8-track even is. But let me tell you something. Get your praise on. Get your worship on. Get the mind of Christ inside of you. Start praising God. Give Him glory. You know what glory means? God, glory means the weightiness of God. And when you give God glory, you're saying, God, you matter to me. And just begin to praise Him. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, that's where you start reading the Word. If you don't know how to praise God, start reading the Word and just start saying, wow, God, you did that for Israel. That's amazing. You brought them through on dry land. Thank you, God. Praise God. You start reading the miracles in the New Testament. You healed the blind. You caused the deaf to hear. You caused the mute to speak. Come on. And you just begin to praise Him. Just begin to give Him thanks. And then just start praising Him for everything He's ever done for you. Has Jesus ever done anything for you? Come on. Did He not die on the cross? Did He not give His life for you? Isn't He wonderful? Just start giving Him glory, giving Him praise, giving Him thanks. And let me tell you something. And then when you start looking at your situation, just start reasoning with your mind. You see, people think that faith is a blind leap in the dark. It's not. Faith isn't leaping off of a cliff. Search the internet for faith and you'll see pictures of people jumping out over. I've done that, looking for sermons, pictures to put here and there. I'm just like, seriously? That's not faith. Faith is stepping out on the firmest foundation there is, the Word of Almighty God. It's believing God is that what He said is true. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark. Faith is believing God. And as you begin to reason, the Lord is speaking to my mind here today. And He's saying some of you have reasoned your way into unbelief. And you can reason your way right out of that. Come on. You can think yourself right out of it. Come on. With your mind, you can begin to say, you know something, I believe it really is possible. And then what happened was this. Abraham became fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And so my third point is this. Don't stop praising God. Don't stop considering who He is and His promises until you become fully convinced. Fully convinced. You say, is that really possible, Pastor Bob? I think it is. I think it is. If you've ever met people of faith, they're convinced. When they pray for you, if you're sick, they don't pray like this. Lord, just remember this one. Remember him, Lord. Come on, like God's, he's got a bad hearing, forgetful problem. You know, God, I want to remind you to remember him. Really? Seriously? No, they're convinced that the Word of God says these signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You say, do you believe in divine healing? Absolutely. I'm convinced that there is such a thing as divine healing and that God is the healer. You've got to become completely convinced. Well, my kids are rebellious. My kids are out there in the world. They're doing things they shouldn't do. There's problems in their life. I just give up. I can't do anything about it. I can't handle all of that. Let me tell you something. Yes, you can. Here's how you handle it. Go to God in prayer. Because this word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and your household. Come on, somebody. It says, I will pour out upon you, my spirit upon you and upon your children. Come on. I just believe that people can believe God for their families to be saved. You say, well, how do I reason my way into that? How can I become fully convinced? You got to know the Word, because the Word says in Samuel, that says God's the one that devises the means to bring his banished home. You see, a lot of times we try to do it. We try to do it all. We think, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to straighten them out. Come on. Is there any older parents that you got older kids and you ever tried to straighten them out? How'd that go for you? It don't work out too good most of the time. Come on. But let me tell you something. God's able to straighten them out, because here's the reason why. He can devise the means, the situation, the exact moment that they need in their life, where all of a sudden they look at the circumstances of their life and they say, you know something? I need Jesus more than anything else in this life. I need Him. I need what my parents had. I need the faith that they had. I need the life. You don't even have to be connected with your kids very much. Amen. They can be off in another place. And let me tell you something. God can hear your prayer. He heard the prayer of the prodigal father, right? They're going to come home one day. There he came. Amen. I'm just telling you, we have a big God. And you can become fully convinced. Amen. That's my message today. Would you stand with me today? Thank you so very much. Amen. I'm going to preach the rest of that another day. I don't know if I'm going to preach that part next week or some other part. But I've got a plan today. Thank you so much. I've got a plan. God's got a plan. Thank you for being here today. God is faithful and real. Let's just take a moment. Let the Spirit of the Lord permeate this place again. Have you ever come to a place where you felt like your faith has failed? The Lord's saying today, He's saying that's okay. He's saying it's a day of renewal. It's a day of coming again. It's a day of believing again. It's a day of trusting again. God is so faithful. Thank you.